we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
This is Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World, and our second theme is How to Live to be Over 100 Years Old. We're into all sorts of great things. Our show is on every Saturday, if you just call, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time for 1 hour, and I am happy to have you. Thank you for calling in or checking in with our show. Want to make sure you're a regular. Going to have the best shows around. You're going to really like what we're doing. We're into health. We're into positive thinking, nature, making solutions for all the problems, geometrically engineered foods, what to eat, what not to eat. And then we go into culture, such as dance, yoga, exercise, sex, and love. If you like our show, be sure to rate us on iTunes. We have three different segments today. The first 20 or 25 minutes will be Race Bontaine. He is a longtime activist, great guy that's against the war. He's an unsung hero. People don't hear about him, but you will in a few minutes. Then we're going to have on Felicia Tomasco. She has a magazine called LA Yoga, probably the best magazine in the world. She's an authority on yoga. We're going to talk about a lot of great things with her. Then for the last 5 minutes of the show, we're going to have Jeanette Valenzuela, one of the coordinators for a big world championship event coming on next weekend. So make sure you stay with us. And our first guest, Race Bontaine, Office of the Americas, longtime great activist, a historian, expert on the wars and all the travesty of the wars, and the prisons and the police system and the torture going on in the world. He's a real expert on Latin American issues going way back. I'm so happy to have this man on. We're just excited. He does great, great work. Blake Fontaine, how you doing?
Fine, Bobby. Good to be with you this morning.
Thank you. I listen to your show on Sundays on Pacifica Radio, and it's wonderful. That's why I'm just glad and blessed to have you on.
Thanks. This week I'll have Daryl Hannah and Haskell Wexler. He is probably the best-known cinematographer in the world with four Academy Awards, and everybody knows who Daryl Hannah is, but they may not know how many times she has been arrested trying to save this planet, which is in grave danger. So the two of them will be on at 10 o'clock KPFK Los Angeles, and I'm really proud to have them as guests.
Good. Yeah, that's 10 a.m. Pacific time. It will be 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah,
Daryl Hannah,
it's accessible all the time on kpfk.org, anywhere in the world, kpfk.org,
that's
and the
excellent.
Program is available 24/7. It's called World Focus.
That's right. It's a great, great show. I advise you to listen to the show, listen to Blake. We'll give that information at the end. And I will give you my phone number for more information if you need, and my email. Let's talk about yourself more of what I didn't tell about our people, about what you want our people to know about you, your work, your past.
Well, my book came out recently. It's an autobiography, but it's called Imagine No Religion. And I stole that from John Lennon, of course. And the idea is to end sectarianism and the harm that sectarianism done. First of all, the sectarianism of nationalism. We have a religion known as American exceptionalism, and that religion makes us believe that our foreign policy is the policy of Jesus, which it is not. And so that religion, like many other really quirky things in religion, does a lot of harm. So what I'm driving at in my autobiography is not the need for atheism. I'm not an atheist, not even the need for agnosticism, but the need to put aside the silliness of sectarianism, of keep people killing each other because of their religious views. When Luther came along, Protestants and Catholics killed each other for 100 years in the name of Jesus. Crusades were killing people of Islam and killing Jews in the name of Jesus. And it goes on today. It seems that our policy thinks it is Jesus because we are really, we have the planet Earth now as a huge U.S. military base. We have 1,000 bases around the world. They are bankrupting us at the center. Every empire in the past has deteriorated at the center as we see Milwaukee go down, Detroit go down, Camden go down, San Bernardino go down, city after city. We don't bail out cities. We bail out banks. We bail out insurance companies. We bail out those that don't need to be bailed out. We don't bail out Detroit now, but we bailed out the auto companies. So we're in a very serious situation. It's deteriorating so fast, and there have been so many losses. I mean, I don't even want to speak about military wins, because once the fighting starts, both sides lose, and that's the ancient Chinese belief in the art of war, that when the fighting starts, you both lose. We lost Vietnam. We lost Cambodia. We lost throughout the Indochina. We lost in Central America. We lost in Afghanistan. We lost in Iraq. We're losing throughout the world and deteriorating rapidly and making enemies. Now, the only way to stop this is through what is called a realignment. A realignment doesn't mean going from Democrat to Republican or vice versa. That has nothing to do with it. These little parties are just a little pendulum tossing the ball back and forth. That isn't it. A realignment is a new way of thinking. A realignment is people saying, look, there's one race on this planet. It's the human race. We're part of it. And these little dinky nation states, including our own, 4% of the world's people, no one of these states is going to run anything and can't run anything. We can't save the ocean, which is deteriorating rapidly. We can't save the air. We'll only save it by means of working in a planetary fashion together with our brothers and sisters in this one race known as the human race. Nationalism is literally killing us, and we are one of the most isolated countries in the world. We are an island. It seems that our people don't know that there's other countries out there. The other day, Jimmy Carter said, would you mind looking at Denmark? You know, it seems to work, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you look at it? Where is Denmark? Is that in Africa? You know, I mean, we really are in trouble. And we're deteriorating so rapidly that it's going to evolve into a nuclear confrontation if we allow it to go in the direction it's going. So this realignment is absolutely essential. It's a realignment in the name of humanism. So when I say imagine no religion in my new book, I'm saying let's stop the sectarian silliness of trying to say I know all about God. The less you claim to know about God, the more reverent you are. The more you claim to know about God, the more irreverent you are. People say, oh, the Twin Towers came down because of homosexuality. Please, don't make yourself into a little God by telling us how the world operates. I'm in favor of reverence, and what I'm in favor of are the humanitarian qualities which should be our creed, and that is peace, joy, love, endurance, and the courage to do what needs to be done. These things are critical. They're part of every existing religion. What divides people in religion is some silly dogmas. Dogmas divided the Catholic Church from the so-called Orthodox Church. There were dogmas that no one knew what they were talking about. They were arguing, for example, does the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father only or from the Father and the Son? Well, neither side knew anything about it, but that split the two churches for 1,000 years now. Some argument that they knew nothing about. So the sectarianism has to go. The ideological approach to religion has to go. We have to learn how to really love one another and share the goods of the earth with what's called distributive justice. Aristotle talked about it when he talked about democracy, that you have to have a sense of the common good. You can't have 600,000 children in Los Angeles County who are not getting enough to eat in the richest county and the richest country and the richest city in the world. You can't have that. It's a crime. And these crimes have to stop, but they're not stopping now. The current system is not working. Jimmy Carter said the other day very clearly, we do not have a functional democracy. This is a president speaking, and he was serious. We do not have a functional democracy. Well, let's get one.
Okay, Blaise, let's go on to a couple things. I want to make a little comment on our next subject, and I want your thoughts on it. Trayvon Martin and also the hunger strike. There are two issues. But the thing I want to talk to you about is why these things are happening, the mentality of the police, about the military, and you also mentioned all those wars and all those deaths. There were millions of people in Iraq, Vietnam, and other many, many other places that have been killed by careless bombing, drones, and just careless, non-caring military that just brought my lie. They killed, what, 400 people? They were hiding young women and children and babies and elderly. There's so much torture and wickedness going on in the jails, the solitary confinement now, the hunger strike, and then the way young men like Oscar Grant and Trayvon Martin die. These things could have been avoided.
Racism is right up there with nationalism. We had a tremendous amount of lynching in this country, and we did not have a huge national objection to it. And I'm so pleased with the response to Trayvon, because he was lynched twice. Once on the street and then again in the court, in a kangaroo court silliness about which even the jurors now are complaining. But so the racism has been part of the program ever since the massacre of the indigenous people. And then we have this horrible Devil's Island out there called Guantanamo, for which we are spending $500 million a year to torture
a
small number of prisoners who have not been tried, who are starving themselves to death, and who are being tortured by being force-fed. And joined with them and in communion with them are the people in solitary confinement in the United States, which is also categorized by the UN as torture. 80,000 people in our prisons in solitary, some for 10, 20, 30, and 40 years. After 15 days, the UN defines it as torture. It drives people crazy. So this is going on now, and we have such a wonderful thing happening in our country. We have hundreds of our young people and older people fasting together with the victims at Guantanamo, together with the victims in our penitentiaries. They are in communion with them. One young woman just fasted 57 days in communion with Guantanamo. This kind of thing is amazing. It's going on in every city. The peace movement has never been as strong as it is right now. You would never know that if you listen to the commercial media only, or you only saw the commercial papers, but it is very, very strong. We're seeing international objection to oppressive governments throughout the Arab world, throughout the entire world, and in our own country. So there's great reason for hope. People are not paying attention anymore. If you ask them about our agencies, suppose I ask my students in the university, is the CIA credible? They say no. Is the State Department credible? They say no. Well, you can't operate that way. We need the truth tellers. Bradley Manning is a hero. He's going to get the Nobel Prize. He's already been nominated, and he should get the Nobel Prize.
That's right.
And Snowden,
right,
also risking his life, living a cushy life in Hawaii together with his girlfriend, and he gives it all up because he realizes that we're on a trip to destruction, and he sticks his neck out to make this truth clear. The truth shall make you free. Everyone who knows the truth and does the truth, here's my name. Isn't that a strange comment for Jesus to make? He didn't say they had to know about his name in terms of reading or writing. They said, he said basically, if you're a truth teller, you know who I am. And you know all about me. Because truth-telling is what it's about. The truth hurts. Our government is alienating people. It is killing people. It is murdering people. It is killing people with signature drones. Signature drones mean you don't even know who you're killing. You're just like in an organized crime, just saying, well, that's just to put you, to warn you. We don't know if we just killed 50 children or what, because it's a signature strike. This is absolutely unacceptable. This has to stop. And we are the people who are going to stop it. And we're going to have a realignment. Everywhere I go, unlike in the 60s when we spoke for peace during Vietnam, we were the devil. Now, what we're finding is we go around today, and we're very unaccustomed to this. People are saying, we agree with you. And I'm not accustomed to being agreed with. But I'm being agreed with more than ever before, because our people understand we're committing suicide, national and international. If we let go with these nuclear weapons, there won't be a United States. There won't be anything left. And we should realize that. You don't use it the way you use a cannon in the Civil War. This is a biocidal weapon. One exchange could give us not nuclear warming, but nuclear winter, and destroy the human race.
Blake, this is all great information. I'd like to get your take on, I know there's so many things wrong, and I love everything you're saying. What about the mentality of the police, the military? How can we change that? We've talked about it. I've got some ideas, but I want to hear your thoughts on, and we all know that Dr. Martin Luther King said change is slow, and it is.
Well, we can do that because we have a police culture which is extremely dangerous. Perhaps the most common crime in the United States is police perjury. Now, this is a very serious thing because police can get away with perjury, and they do on a daily basis. Now, that is not acceptable. It's part of a culture. It's part of a culture of putting the police and the prosecutor and the judge together, and that's why we have such an excessive number of people in prison, especially people of color, and it's not acceptable. We also have police policing themselves. You can't do that. You have to have outside entities judging police activity. Police literally have gotten away with murder, and we have, of course, a new film on that, and everybody is aware of it, so that they're looked upon as an occupying army. There is no them and us. There's only us, and until the police understand that they're here on behalf of us. That's what they're for. They're not going to be allowed to have prejudices against black people or brown people or poor people. It's really very tragic that they show a particular respect for the wealthy, and they disrespect the people the wealthy disrespect, namely the poor and people of color. And we have unwritten laws among the police that have to be dealt with. Questions like, if one shoots, everybody shoots. That's not okay. But some of these laws are unwritten, and they're extremely dangerous. Beating people up after a chase, in a vehicle chase, that is not acceptable. This type of behavior can't continue. We, one of the police chiefs, Norm Stamper, who is now retired, was chief in San Diego and chief in Seattle. And he wrote a book called Breaking Rank, where he tried to identify these problems of police culture as a police chief. So I recommend his book, Breaking Rank. Norm Stamper.
That's good. Give us your, I'd like to get your final thoughts and also your contact information. We've only got a few minutes left.
Okay. We are accessible at officeoftheamericas.org. That's a nonprofit educational corporation which my wife and I started 30 years ago. Office of the Americas, that has an S on it because it's all the Americas, .org. And our information is there. Our email is similar. It's OOA@IGC.org. OOA@IGC.org. And we're totally accessible. We also have a telephone number of 310-450-1185. 310-450-1185. We've been working on the problems of U.S. policy for these 30 years. We don't focus on any one country. We focus on the United States and its policy because our foreign policy is de facto fascism. There is absolutely no democracy in our foreign policy, and not even the Congress is part of it. The president just tells us tomorrow we're at war in Syria. He'll tell us the day after we've just had a nuclear war in the Middle East. The foreign policy has no restraints at this time, and this is what we have to acknowledge. That's why I say that the planet Earth is a U.S. military base where we have these 1,000 bases which are bankrupting the United States and in so doing endangering everybody on Earth, and everybody's afraid of us. And you don't win friends that way. When you arrive in a country unarmed, you find people almost everywhere in the world are enormously friendly and anxious to see you. But if you arrive, you know, in a tank and start shooting people, you don't make friends that way, you know. Very interesting. So we've been doing this work, and we're very happy about the response. We're thrilled with the peace movement throughout the world today, which is extremely active. And I would urge the commercial media to start acknowledging that, maybe for the first time. It is a huge movement, and it's in every small town, anywhere you go in the United States and elsewhere. So we're proud of that. It gives us hope.
Blake, we got 1 or 2 minutes. Please, let's keep to that time. I wanted to hear your thoughts on this comment, and that is that the show we are trying to tell people, some of the main ways they can do to make this a better world is get out there and join an organization, be an activist, go to meetings, and then get on social media network and tell your friends about it and read up on what's going on around the world, because there is a movement, and it's very strong on the Internet, social media, Facebook, YouTube. People are showing films there. There's change going on in this world, slowly but surely. I'd like to hear another minute or so comment by you on a final thought and on what I just said.
Well, Noam Chomsky, one of our greatest living intellectuals, is often asked by people, what should we do? And he basically responds, you know, get together with like-minded people. What are you willing to do? Don't ask me to tell you what to do, but get together with like-minded people, join in with them, and go through the process of observing and then making a judgment and then deciding what your praxis or action is. And look at what other people are doing. Code Pink has done such a tremendous job.
Yes.
That when Medea Benjamin the other day interrupted the president, he said, listen to that woman. You know, he knew she was right. And he knew she was saying what he'd like to do, but apparently is not willing to do. So he told the crowd to listen to her, which is an amazing thing for someone that's just been interrupted, who's president of the United States. So these movements are outstanding. They're doing a great job. They're fasting together with the prisoners. They're doing beautiful, nonviolent, admirable, heroic actions throughout the United States, and we're very proud of them.
Well, Blake, I'd like to have you on again in about 4 or 5 weeks, and either half an hour, possibly more.
Thank you very much, Bobby Elias.
One more thing, Blake. I would like to, with you, come up with a list of, like you mentioned, Code Pink, great group. I'd like to mention your group, your radio show, my work, my radio show, but also other activist groups that people can join all over the world and in their own area. And then I want to get some information and I have a few friends that are really on Facebook and total social media network, and we're going to try our best to help make change in this world by getting the word out to everyone. So I want to start making a list of major groups that we can promote.
One of the vanguards of this whole thing are our veterans. They are doing extremely wonderful work. Veterans for Peace is dedicated to abolishing war. We used to think veterans could be counted on to support war. They do not. Veterans for Peace are all over the United States. They want to abolish this form of slavery known as war, the form of slavery known as military service, where you go in to follow orders, keep your mouth shut, and do what you're told. That's the way you speak to a slave. Wars are fought by slaves. We have to end this nonsense before it destroys the planet. We have very little time. We have to stop playing games, stop making a religion out of the United States of America. It is not a religion. It's a small country with 4% of the world's people, and it's really threatening the globe at this time. We have to get off of it and get on to humanity. Look at this beautiful planet and the people on it, and we'll try to save them and save what they're about with a spirit of love and joy and courage. And we can do it if we try, if we wake up.
Yes, Blake, thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you, Bobby. We'll talk to you again. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Blake Fontaine, Office of the Americas, longtime activist and expert in the war, Latin American, and all the tragedies and tortures that have happened in killings, and the military and police mindset that have this country and around the world. Also, this man is, we're going to have him on again in 4 or 5 weeks. Okay, let's move on. We have another guest coming on, and then at the last 5 minutes of the show, we're going to talk about a major world championship event that I want to let you know about. I want to remind everybody, the name of this show is Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias. We're on every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, and we talk about change in the world, what we can do. We talk about how to be 100 years old or more. We talk about activism. We talk about culture, art, yoga, and all the things that we do.
para triunfar tenemos que entender.
Somos amor, somos el mundo, somos la luz que alumbra con ardor lo más oscuro.
This is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. We had the show in Spanish, the second half hour, and our substitute engineer today wasn't aware that we've changed. The whole hour is in English now. We had a young lady that was a college professor who was helping a lot with a co-host in Spanish. When she wasn't around, I did it in Spanish, but it's a lot of work to do two shows in within 1 hour. And when she gets back, we hope to get back on for an hour in Spanish, hour in English. We'll see what we can do with that. But sorry for the interruption. Again, our engineer was not aware that the show format has changed. So we have our next guest. My name is Bobby Elias. The name of the show is Let's Create a Better World. We're on every Saturday, one full hour, from 2 p.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern, or beginning 11 a.m. Pacific time. Our show is about health, activism, the arts and culture, dance, yoga, and many things. Today we have a guest, Felicia Tomasco, the editor of LA Yoga, a great, great magazine. I'm so pleased to have her on. We're going to talk about a number of things in yoga, and I'm sorry for the interruption to Felicia and to everyone else listening. Felicia, how are you doing?
I am doing great, Bobby. Thanks so much for asking. And I'm actually calling in from Santa Monica, where a big yoga event just completed on the Santa Monica Pier. There was a free run and then a free yoga class, and there were about 300 people all practicing yoga together on the Santa Monica Pier, totally free. People brought their kids. People of all ages were there. So I'm doing great because I got to spend my morning starting out being with a group of people in Los Angeles practicing yoga in a community space.
That's great. That's super wonderful. All right, let's tell a little more about you, your magazine, yourself, some of your work. Tell us about that, and then we're going to get into a couple subjects.
Well, thanks, Bobby. So my name is Felicia Tomasco. I'm the editor-in-chief and one of the partners at LA Yoga Magazine, and we're a community-based publication in Los Angeles. We've been publishing for over 11 years, and our goal is to really inform people about things that they can do to make their lives better, both personally and as a community. And we tell stories that inspire. We give people information about yoga, health, wellness, and a lot of community projects. We write about people doing things in the community to make other people's lives better on a regular basis. My background is I've been a longtime yoga teacher as well as a longtime professional writer and editor, and I'm a registered nurse and also a practitioner of what's called Ayurveda, which is one of the traditional systems of medicine native to India and shares a huge connection with yoga in terms of self-empowerment and health and wellness. And so those are things that I have a strong passion for, is communicating that information about how we can take control of our lives and empower ourselves on a daily basis for better health and well-being.
Beautiful said. Let's get into the first subject matter. I'd like to know from you, I know you're Southern California, but you have antennas all over the world and this country. Tell us about how yoga, the state of art of yoga around the world and in this country, and then lastly, Los Angeles, California.
Well, one of the things that I like to say when people ask me this question is when you really consider the place in the world that we are right now, more people practice yoga across the world now than has happened at any other time in history. And part of that, I think, is because there's a great sharing of this information and these teachings around the world. And yoga is something that, even though it came from India, it can really be adapted to different cultures. It includes a series of postures, of breath, and of meditation that aren't rigid, but can really be utilized in different cultural traditions, different types of practices, different places around the world. And people, I believe, are embracing this practice right now because it offers something that is self-empowering. You know, there's not that many times in life where we're taught techniques that are inexpensive, that can be used anywhere, and that actually promote health and well-being. And so it's something that I've seen yoga practices, I think, taught on every continent. I've seen pictures of people doing yoga in Antarctica. I have a dear group of friends who are teaching yoga in places in Africa where people would have no access to it, that are helping people become healthier, helping people work out conflict resolution, helping people find that sense of inner peace. People are working in the Middle East, utilizing the techniques of yoga in Saudi Arabia and in China, in, you know, just about every country in the world. There's a growth of these practices used in different kinds of ways to empower people. And then, you know, in the U.S., it's something that is being taught more often in schools. And even though there's been some kind of backlash around that, people thinking, oh, well, yoga's religious. I don't want my children learning a religion other than their own. There was also, you know, in San Diego recently, a judge declared that yoga's really become part of mainstream U.S. society, that it's not tied to any particular religion. There's people who teach yoga for Christians, where they utilize Christian language, Jewish yoga. There's yoga in lots of different traditions that really incorporate different cultural belief systems along with the breathing, the postures, and the meditation. And I may be biased, but, you know, I'm here in Los Angeles where there's probably more yoga studios than there are coffee shops. And people, it's not uncommon to see people walking through the street carrying a yoga mat or yoga being offered different kinds of places, like this morning on the Santa Monica Pier, for example.
Well, Alicia, not just Los Angeles. Let's say Southern California and, hold on, the whole West Coast from San Diego to the Canadian border. Yoga and this movement of physical fitness, exercise, getting, and yoga is, here's what I have to say about yoga. I want your thoughts on this. Yoga helps you relax. Helps you restore your body. Helps you breathe easier. Energizes you. Regrounds you. Refreshes you. And then it helps you sleep better. Improves your overall health. Strengthens and tones your body. Builds flexibility. Improves digestion. Lose weight, and just in general, feel great. How's that sound?
Well, I think you've nailed it, Bobby. And those are things that not just people say that yoga does for you, but are proven effects. You know, there's a lot of research that's now being done in medical research settings looking at what the traditional practices tell us that yoga does and have confirmed those effects. You know, very few things actually reduce stress hormones, and yoga has been shown to do that. Yoga has been shown to lower blood pressure. Yoga has been shown to help us sleep better. Yoga has been shown to actually help us utilize blood sugar more effectively and efficiently. You know, for people, we look at the epidemic of obesity and diabetes going on in our country today. And so yoga has been really shown to improve so many things in our lives. So it's really looking at that, not just peak performance, but everyday performance. What kind of cross-training can we do on a daily basis that actually helps us to feel better? You know, and that's really what most of us want. We want to get up in the morning and feel well-rested and feel excited about going through our day and feel like we can drive down the street without feeling tense and rigid. You know, life, there's so many things in life that increase the stress that we experience, and very few things in life, especially things that are inexpensive, that decrease that stress. And the fact that yoga is not only believed to do that, but shown to do that, is powerful.
That's great. You know your stuff, Felicia. This is super. Our people out there listening, this is Felicia Tomasco, the editor of LA Yoga Magazine. I consider it the best yoga journal in the world. She's also has another is part of another magazine, or does stories for a magazine called Bliss, which is tell us about Bliss real briefly, because I have some more things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, and so both magazines, like you mentioned, and thank you for your kind words, Bobby, LA Yoga Magazine, our website is layoga.com, and it does provide that information. And our second magazine that we produce is called Find Bliss, because we are all looking for that way to find bliss in our lives, and we do it in all of our daily practices, from what we eat to you know, how we spend our money, to the relationships that we have, to what we do for work. And those are some of the subjects that we cover and address, is how do we find that sense of balance in our lives in a world that is constantly feels like it's going out of balance or it's spinning out. Even thinking about the speaker that you had on before me and talking about what veterans are going through, or how much our world is at war right now, there's that provides just, or that increases our level of stress, you know, from what we see on the news to families who are waiting for a loved one to come home, to somebody who's seeing things that no human being should ever have to see. You know, that increases our collective stress. And the more we can do individually and the more we can do to help each other, the more the world will be a better place.
Yes. Yeah, Felicia, I want to tell you about people of color, poor people, oppressed people, people that don't get a chance to yoga. But first, let me explain. This show, Gary Null, the owner of this radio station, asked me to do this show. When he comes to L.A., he'll be coming here possibly in September. He comes once a year or once every 2 years to show new hard-hitting films. I run his group called the Gary Null Health Support Group here in Southern California. We do events all over. We'll have one at Long Beach at a big health center. Up in about 3 or 4 weeks. We've done them in the Valley. We've done them in Los Angeles, all over, and we're getting better and better reaction. But Gary asked me to try to do more things for poor people and people of color. So I've developed two new groups. One is the African-American or Black Gary Null Health Support Group, and another one is the Latino Health Support Group, which we're going to do in Spanish and English. But speaking of that, one of the issues, one of my goals, because I am Latino and I'm a longtime activist and health fanatic, is to try to get word out to people that don't ever get, people in South Central and East LA and people that are in poor communities of color, and not just people of color. There are white people and there's people of all races that are poor and live check to check or barely even live that way, and are homeless and hungry, and it's pretty bad. So I want to find a way to take some yoga teachers and go to some of these poor communities, help and be an organizer for that, and really let people know, look, there's more things to life than just the streets and the crack houses and liquor stores around here and the gangs and the killings. Let's show you some exercise ways, and then let's show you, point out that some of the farmers markets where you can go and eat good. These are ideas that I'm already starting to do and work on, but I want to get into the yoga segment. I want your thoughts on what we can do, and maybe in the future we can interview not only yourself, which I'd like to have you on again, but some people of color who are trying to do some things in their communities so we can expand that. I want your thoughts on that, please.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Bobby, that's something that's so important. And within the yoga community, people are increasingly sensitive to this very issue. When we talk about practices that are self-empowering, we're not talking about just one group, one population in the country or in the world that should have access to this. We really want to look at how to provide access to these teachings to lots of different groups. My dear friend Krishnakar, who runs an organization called Yoga for Youth in Los Angeles, part of what they do is really work with, you know, yoga for youth, not just youth, but youth who maybe do not have access to these kinds of practices, or even youth who are incarcerated in some way or who are in the system, you know, how to provide classes for people to help give them some glimmer of hope. Uprise Yoga is another organization specifically in Los Angeles that's working with kids in detention centers and offering them a way to learn these practices so that they can make shifts and changes in their lives. An organization called Off the Mat is working, is doing outreach in different kinds of communities that do not already have access to these practices, looking at really engaging teachers and teaching them how to teach with multicultural groups, with people of different backgrounds, and allowing teachers to go in and also offer teacher training programs to people. There's an organization, Yoga Fit, that requires their trainees to do community service work and to kind of get in to different groups and different populations. So it's something that we see people who practice yoga, who find that it makes a difference in their lives. They want to give back in some way and to share it. You know, I mentioned for you earlier in Africa, the Africa Yoga Project is a group of people who are doing actual teacher training with people in slums and disadvantaged communities, in places that don't normally have access, and teaching teachers who can then share with their peers and their community members. So it's happening in this country, it's happening in other countries, and I think connecting those people is important. I also know a group of people in Los Angeles that are starting a food co-op in South Los Angeles, in an area that's a food desert, and how to help people have access to healthy food. And many of the people involved in this project are also yoga teachers who are looking at, okay, how do we bring health and wellness? You know, say, it's okay, it's great that there's a food co-op in Santa Monica, but what about these areas of Los Angeles that, you know, even though we have access to farmers markets, are literally food deserts? And
that's
so
this
is something, and this is something that in LA Yoga Magazine we write about in a regular, on a regular basis, you know, everything from, you know, social justice issues to food to, you know, helping people reach those kinds of groups and populations so that people can become mobilized around it. People can volunteer, people can donate, people can help train other teachers. Because I think that's also, too, you know, if you not just offer yoga classes, but train people to teach where they can teach the other people in their community and they can offer classes. We were recently at classes that are being held in homeless shelters in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh,
again, working with people who don't already have access to these kinds of programs.
Please excuse me. We've got to finish up this segment. I want you slowly to give your information again, and then if I have another half minute, I want to tell you something else. Go ahead. Give your information, please.
My website, layoga.com. Yeah,
and, okay, that's good. And then if you want to give any other information out, but I do want to meet with you in the next few weeks. I want to have you on the show again and possibly with another yoga guest, hopefully more time. And sorry for the interruption by that a different engineer today. They thought we were doing a second half hour in a different language, in Spanish. But I do want to have you on again, and we could have a different perspective. I will be seeing you probably at the health and fitness event going on in a few hours. I'll be there in a couple hours. But thank you so much for being on this show, and we'll be talking again.
I look forward to it, and it's heartening to know that you care about these types of social justice issues related to yoga. It's something that's very personally important to me and to all of my team and to our community, and that's why on layoga.com we regularly write about service projects that are happening in the community and organizations I mentioned like Yoga for Youth, like Off the Mat, like Uprise Yoga. These are people who are making a difference in the community, and it's really exciting for us to see, and we do everything we can to support that on an ongoing basis.
Great, great. Okay, thanks again, Felicia. We'll be talking, okay? I'll talk to you.
Thank you so much, Bobby, and it's an honor to get to share this information with people who do want to make the world a better place.
You're wonderful. You're a wealth of information.
Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. All right, this is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. We are on every Saturday. And I have one more. I promise you some information about a special event going on this next weekend. It's a world championship event, and I have another beautiful lady that's going to talk to us about that event for a few minutes before we close out. And we'll have them on again. We'll have someone on again next week to talk about a huge international event that's going on in Southern California next weekend. Jeanette Valenzuela, how you doing? Are you there?
Hi, Bob. I'm here.
Good, good, good. All right, Jeanette is a beautiful lady. She's a great dancer, instructor, and she's all over the place. She and five other people are putting together a thing called the LA Open Salsa. Tell us about that and give us the facts, Jeanette, and then we can talk a little more about the event.
Thank you, Bob. Actually, the event is called the LA Salsa Open, and it's going to be taking place August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2013 at the Long Beach Hilton. And we just want to tell everyone to mark your calendars because we're going to have a great time in Long Beach. The address of the hotel is 701 West Ocean Boulevard in the city of Long Beach. And let me tell you a little bit about our event. It's a three-day international dance competition, and we are going to be crowning the king and queen of salsa. What's really remarkable about our event is that we have something for everyone. So you don't have to be a world champion salsa dancer to participate. We actually have three different categories where people can participate. And the first one is called Pro-Am, meaning professional dancing with amateur competing. And this is a great opportunity for someone that's a total beginner, a novice, to become involved and compete in categories such as salsa, mambo, bachata, cha-cha-cha, merengue, cumbia. We also have banda regional, and we also have a showcase division. We also have a junior team division. And we have, based on all those categories, we have different levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So it may be a little bit too late to jump in the game right now, but I just want to make sure that your listeners are aware that next year they can be paired up with a list of our professional dance instructors here in Southern California and compete with them. So it's a dancing with the salsa stars type of situation.
Great. Wow. Okay, and this is next weekend, everyone, August 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Yes.
I wanted a couple more thoughts, but first, tell our people how they can go online, and please say it slowly, or and a phone number, or whatever information they can get so they can see and hear and look at this information, be it online or your page or whatever. I mean, go ahead.
Absolutely. So if you don't wish to compete, you can come to our event and just watch all the dance competitions, participate in all the workshops we're going to be having, 13 hours of classes throughout the entire weekend. Plus, we're going to have live social dancing at night. We have a great band on Saturday evening, Angel Lebron y su Sabor Latino Orquesta. Great, great LA band for salsa. And you can buy tickets at this website, www.lasalsaopen.com. Again, www.lasalsaopen.com. You can purchase a single evening pass, a three-night pass, a full event pass, a day pass. So we have many options. If you're not able to come every single day, join us on a Saturday night or a Sunday night.
So they can come for just one day if they're not able to come for 3 days, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, and then give that information, that phone number again, where they can call for ticket information.
The phone number to call is 1-888-800-7101.
Good. Excellent. Great. Well, Jeanette, you've been great, and the six of you are doing a wonderful job. I know
Thank
this
you.
Is probably the first of many ventures coming up. You got a great group. You're all master dance instructors. I've seen and know all six of you. You're just great people, and any way I can help with promotion, PR, or other facets, and I will speak to you either later today or tomorrow about an idea I have that help promote it before it's over.
I really appreciate, Bob, you supporting us. Thank you so much for reaching out to me, and I'm very happy that you're behind us.
Yeah, and next week we'll be on for at least 10 minutes, maybe possibly more. I prefer having you on. And you can at that time on Saturday, you'll have already had one day of the event. So you'll have the Friday event will be finished, and then you can give us all the data, how it went, and then more data on Saturday and Sunday scheduled events and how everything else. And I'll be there with you on this radio show, okay? Thank you so
Love
much.
It. No, thank you.
You've been great. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Hi, I'm Bobby Elias again. Sorry for the middle interruption. We had an interruption in the middle of the show because we have a substitute engineer from New York, our main office of the Progressive Radio Network, who wasn't aware that we no longer have this second half hour in Spanish. So it was mistakenly interrupted. It's possibly part of my fault for not letting her know that we have a change in the schedule. I think she's our lone female engineer in the New York office. We usually have a guy named Greg who's our engineer. But sorry about that. The Spanish-speaking segment will be back on either in a full hour, on its own speed, on its own show, which is our goal, and then I'll have this show in English in the same title. There are two segments of this show. One is Let's Create a Better World for Change, and the second is...
If you'd like to make a
Sorry for the interruptions. I think I don't know what's going on with the phone. But we're also going to talk about how to live to be 100 years old. My name is Bobby.